Hey, Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 70, being recorded on October 21, 2019. Actually hoping that this will be an exciting episode, although it will be a little short. I am your only host today. With all of the stuff that Lizzie has going on, she is not able to make a recording with us this week. And John and I, and actually Eric and about 30 other people, are committed to a big work thing that we have going on this week, and we're kind of in final preparation for. But I did not want to have you folks going without an episode of Guardians this week. So I decided to grab a few minutes this afternoon and throw together a quick news update episode for you guys. So real quick, what do we have going on here? Kevin Feige got promoted to Chief Creative Officer at Marvel Studios. It's kind of funny, when this got released, people were like, they seemed surprised by it. And this really wasn't a whole bunch of surprise to me. You might remember a few weeks ago, we reported on the fact that Marvel TV got moved over to be positioned under Marvel Studios. So it just kind of makes sense to me that Feige would be getting a new title and probably more money and all that kind of stuff for his added responsibilities. No big surprise here. It just makes sense. recorded Random Chatter last night with Lou and Eric, and I had actually committed on that episode to not be talking about this on Guardians, but I really kind of feel like I need to at least mention it here, because we have some listeners here who maybe don't listen to Random Chatter, and it's this stuff has been going around. So in case you missed it, Francis Ford Coppola has now joined the anti-comic book movie club. And in one of his quotes, he has called Marvel movies, quote, despicable. So look, real quick, here's my thing with this whole situation. These are, and all due respect to the stuff that Francis Ford Coppola and Martin Scorsese and others have put together, I think they have an incredible legacy of films that have really done wonderful, wonderful things for filmmaking. But their attitudes toward comic book movies, to be honest, just don't seem much different than grumpy old white men screaming, "Get off my lawn." That's really all it amounts to, I think. I think that they're seeing the popularity, they're seeing the box office numbers, they're seeing the fan response to these types of things, and they don't know what to do with themselves. They don't feel comfortable competing in this space anymore. And I think they're trying to figure out what to do. And instead of internalizing it and figuring out, hey, how can we still make big, popular, blockbuster, epic movies, they're instead of blaming other people with this. And I just, that's never worked for me. That's really never worked for me. You know, personal responsibility is a big thing for me. And it just bugs the crap out of me that these guys, again, it's old white men screaming, "Get off my lawn." You know, we saw some of this a while ago with James Cameron, who at least has been gracious enough to acknowledge what has been accomplished in the MCU and acknowledge that, you know, in terms of box office take, that they've surpassed Avatar and all that good stuff. And quite honestly, I don't think that James Cameron could even fathom saying these types of things about comic book movies, considering that films in his resume, like Avatar, like Terminator, are just so damn adjacent to the stuff that Marvel and DC are putting out. He really would be kind of insulting his own work and his own fans and that kind of stuff. And I don't know. I mean, everyone's entitled to their own opinion on this, but I think they also, you know, whenever you speak your opinion, you also, you know, while we have a freedom of speech, you don't have a freedom from criticism when you express these opinions. And so I think that these guys really need to look internally and think about what this is all about and realize that a bit of reflection that this doesn't look good for them. You know, making these statements just simply make them look like idiots and that they're just trying to, you know, blame other people. And it's crazy that, you know, they are forming this kind of little club of their own. But we are also getting continued statements by various creatives coming out against these guys and very respectfully saying, hey, you know, this is cinema, this is film, this is entertaining. And that's fundamentally what it's about. You know, one of Coppola's statements was that, you know, these weren't providing anything to the audience. They weren't providing any value. Well, they're providing entertainment. And I think that's the number one reason for consumers and fans to engage in these things is to be entertained. They don't necessarily have to learn something. They don't necessarily have to be inspired by something. They just simply want to be entertained. And that can cover a whole gamut of what entertainment actually is to the different viewers. But clearly there are gazillions of people who are enraptured by these films and they're totally bought into them. So whatever. It frustrates me to be talking about this. Yeah, I still feel like we have to acknowledge what's going on out there to an extent. Yeah, I would expect this whole thing, considering that it just kind of keeps lingering and keeps coming about here and there, I expect that we will end up talking about this more in the coming weeks as certain people keep saying certain things that and just kind of expecting no ramification from it, I guess. Let's see. We did get an announcement for a writer for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, and that is Jade Bartlett. Jade Bartlett just recently wrote a film called The Turning for Universal, and that is a horror movie. She doesn't have a huge filmography, but it obviously is encouraging that we have a writer who has most recently done a horror film being engaged as a writer for Multiverse of Madness. Hopefully also she is a Marvel fan or can really learn a lot about the characters that she's going to be working with, because certainly we want it all to kind of make sense and we want it to intersect. And, you know, I don't think anyone wants any hardcore horror with this, even though Marvel is saying, hey, yeah, this is going to be our first horror movie. I'm really thinking, you know, a softer, lighter type of horror, more in the psychological aspect. I mean, certainly don't expect this is going to be a gory slasher film. This is going to be psychological horror, which I think a lot more folks can kind of buy into. Over on the Sony side of things, we got an announcement that the character of Shriek is going to be introduced in Venom 2. And so this is an interesting character. This is a character who I kind of set akin to a character like Havoc from the X-Men, a siren type of character who can vocalize or emit certain loud sounds or frequencies or pitches of sounds, which obviously if you remember Venom, the first Venom movie, you've read the comic books, that kind of stuff, even the from the prior Spider-Man franchise where we had Venom there, we know that the symbiotes are affected by certain frequencies of sound. And so Shriek coming into this is, I think it's good. It makes a lot of sense. Shriek is a villain, and Shriek actually in the comics kind of consorted a bit with Carnage. And so it's going to be interesting to see how they bring her in here, if she's going to be associated with Carnage, kind of as this outright villain, and obviously used as a weapon against Venom. But then, of course, you know, thinking about the folly of comic book, I don't mean folly of comic books in a bad way, just kind of how the stories unfold, that, of course, hey, if she's going to be used as a weapon against one symbiote, well, mistakes can be made and she ends up becoming, you know, maybe an inadvertent weapon against another symbiote, or she gets turned against Carnage. So we certainly have yet to see what happens with that story. The really cool thing about this, on top of Shriek being brought in, is that it was announced that the role is going to be played by Naomi Harris. Naomi Harris, if you're not familiar with her, if you've watched any of the recent James Bond films, she has played Moneypenny in those films. She was a little earlier in her career. She played 20 in 28 Days Later. Really, really great actress, very engaging actress. She has great physicality to her. She has a terrific presence to her. I'm excited about her playing in this role, and I think this is just contributing now to some additional star power in this movie between folks in front of the camera and behind the camera. So I'm really looking forward to this, and I think it's going to be great. Couple of items here in speculation rumors. First of all, there is some rumor out there, not confirmed officially, but folks who are generally reliable sources saying that there is a release date of July 2022 for Ant-Man 3. Everyone knows how I feel about that. But hey, it's fine. I'm not real crazy about the character of Ant-Man, but I do appreciate what the movies are doing and what the stories in the movies are doing with their contribution to the greater MCU. So, you know, hey, I'm fine with it. That's cool. That's good. So July 2022 likely puts Ant-Man 3 in Phase 5. And I'm sure sometime in the course of maybe the next 6 months or so, we'll hopefully start getting some confirmations on dates moving into Phase 5. The other bit of speculation out there, and this seems to be a little more firm because there are apparently casting sheets that have been seen for these characters, but it looks like some of the Inhumans are going to be brought back for the Ms. Marvel Disney Plus series. So Ms. Marvel is an Inhuman, and it seems that they are sticking with that origin story for Disney Plus. We may see these characters come in for the first episode or two, maybe even pop up periodically after that. Again, we don't know what any of these plans are. They are not recasting all the Inhumans. It seems the casting call is only out for like two or three of these characters. I don't know what this means for the Inhumans. Obviously, the previous Inhumans content that came out that we'll call a quote-unquote movie, because it was going to be a movie, then it wasn't. It was released on TV, but it was in the theater for a while, that kind of thing. I don't know if they're kind of decanonizing it. They've really never acknowledged it afterwards anyway. So I don't know what this actually means. I think once we get some confirmation that, yes, they are bringing the Inhumans into this, inevitably at a convention next year, we're going to have someone asking the question to Kevin Feige or someone else with Marvel Studios saying, hey, you're bringing Inhumans into Ms. Marvel. Is there any connection with these characters back to the other Inhuman storylines that you did on the screens? If so, you know, or if not, does this essentially make that stuff go away? Which really the reception of that stuff just fell so flat that they're probably better off just saying, yeah, that didn't really exist. We're just going to do other stuff. So we'll see. Again, this is, it seems that it may be factual, but still we're just not yet rooted in something factual yet. So we're kind of keeping this in the speculation and rumors section. So definitely next week, I know John and I will be back next week. I know that Liz is still working on some other stuff. She doesn't expect to be back in the saddle until early November. Yeah, expect John and I to be back with you in a week. So that's it. Take care, folks.